It is my high privilege this morning to make an introduction. It is my high honor today to introduce you to God. Now, I suspect you feel you know something about God. After all, a lot has been written about God. There are books and movies and documentaries. And consider all the art, all the great works of art depicting the Ancient of Days. And you know this, you know that by definition, God is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at once, or our theologians tell us this about God. You know from the Bible that God is love, God is spirit. You know from Genesis that God is the creator God, master of the whirling planets, painter of sunsets in ochre and vermilion. You know from the good book that God rested dark from light and light from dark, introducing day and night, summer and winter, seed time and harvest. But I wonder if you know this about God. I wonder if you know what God dreamed of for us. A dream God dreamed so long ago. Maybe God has forgotten. Or if not forgotten, surely God has given up on this dream. Because you see, this dream that God dreamed for us, for you and I, we weren't up to it. Journey with me deep inside the ancient and holy book of Leviticus. Flanked on one side by Genesis and Exodus, and on the other by Deuteronomy and Numbers, Leviticus is located at the absolute center of the five books of the law, the Torah. So listen again to God's words from the book of Leviticus. Farmer, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, nor the gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you, vintner, you shall not strip your vineyard bare, nor gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You, farmer, you, vintner, you shall leave these for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Okay. Sounds simple on the face of it, but let's play it out. It is God's dream that landowners, farmers, are to leave produce unharvested, leave a portion of the onions and the cucumbers, the okra and the tomatoes, a portion of the grapes and the oranges and the figs unharvested. So let's say, for the sake of argument, let's say that this sanctuary, from there to there and there to there, let's say that this sanctuary is your field. Now maybe you inherited this field. Maybe it's been in the family for five generations. Or maybe you were so plucky. You came from nothing and you earned money and you purchased it. In any case, it's your field. And you, farmer, or you, vintner, you would prepare the soil. You buy and you plant the seeds, you water it, and you worry over it, and you pray over it. You keep the farm equipment oiled and sharpened and in good repair. And then when the produce is finally ripe and ready, you harvest it, right? You harvest it. But not all of it. God commands, this is in the law, God commands that you leave a portion of all your hard work, all your labor, leave it, abandon it in place. Why? In order that the poor, the indigent, and the immigrant are assured of a source of sustenance. God commands you, vintner, or you, farmer, to leave the edges unharvested. And so you got to ask yourself, what's an edge? How much is an edge? Sally, are you a part of the edge, or is it further back there? Is the edge, does it encroach upon the pews there? Where's the edge? The choir, the edge up here? What's an edge? God commands you to leave a portion of your hard work, your labor, and abandon it in place, in the edges of your field. Here's the thing, you're not to gather it. You're not to gather it up and take it to a central location, a feeding site or a food pantry. You're to leave it there, at the edges of your field. Thus saith the Lord. I wonder if you knew this about God. Did you know that God hoped from us way, way, way back when that we wouldn't treat private property as a sacrament? Did you know that in God's dreaming, those who are hale and hearty and disciplined and diligent are to expect that the poor and the indigent, the homeless and the immigrant, will trespass, intrude right upon your property, and harvest for themselves your corn, your potatoes, your hard-won figs and olives and oranges? But here's the thing. This ancient dream that God dreamed for us, we couldn't do it. Israel couldn't do it. We weren't up to it. It's too hard. It's too painful, too humanly counterintuitive, counterproductive. Imagine this. Imagine that you are that farmer, you are that vintner, and this is your field. It's a fine, fine summer's evening. You've invited over the neighbor farmers. You're out of doors. You're gathered around the grill. All the folding chairs are out, and the children are running and laughing, and the dogs are barking. But over there and right there, over there, right there, are families from the other side of the tracks or from across the border with the grimy kids and the dirty, ill-fitting, ragged clothes. With bare hands, they are digging your potatoes and onions and eating them right there, raw and cold and hard, because they can't wait another second for nourishment. Do you see how hard this law is? How very painful? Do you see how we fail to live up to God's ancient dream for us, a dream that we would share everything? The labor of our hands, the industry of our minds, and not least, the properties we call private. Do you see how hard it is to live with, in close association with, to share your field with the desperately poor? Now, had humans obeyed this divine law, had they agreed to God's law to share the edges of our fields with the poor, here's what I imagine. Here's what I think it might have looked like. Over time, we'd summon the courage to wander out to the edge, or over here to the edge, to introduce ourselves, to meet the skinny kids with the big eyes. I imagine over time we'd get to talking, us and them. We'd get to know each other, rich and poor, landowner and indigent. I imagine over time we'd share our dreams for our children with them, and they would share their dreams for their children with us. I imagine over time our kids and their kids learning each other's games, each other's songs, each other's languages. I imagine maybe we'd find a way to share the land over time, the work, the production of the fields, share the education of our children. And then down the road a ways, I imagine another fine summer's evening, and we're all gathered outside for a picnic, us and them, and the air is filled with the sound of children's laughter. Well, that's just me, wild imaginings, just guessing, because in truth it didn't play out that way. Here's what we do know. We know that once upon a time, the Ancient of Days, Master of the Universe, dreamed that humans were capable of building a society founded on love. God dreamed that love might be a sturdy enough engine to keep society humming. Imagine that. Once upon a time, God dreamed that love, not commerce, generosity, not private ownership, would be enough for us. Imagine that. But God dreamed too high. We weren't up to it, not most of us anyways. And so it is that across the pages and the books of the Bible, from Leviticus to the books of Joshua and Judges and on, God slowly lowers God's expectations. God accommodates God's expectations to human failings and limitations. One of the most decisive adjustments God makes, a compromise, is told in the first book of Samuel. In the book of Samuel, our forebears say to God, God, we love you. We love you, man. But it's not enough. We need a king. We want a king like all those other neighbors. We love you, God, but we want a king to govern us. Reluctantly and with a broken heart, God concedes and gives them a king. God adjusts. So, it's my great privilege this morning to introduce you to a lesser known longing of God's own heart, to God's dream for us. A dream God dreamed for us so long ago. Maybe God has forgotten. I hope God has forgotten. But I don't think we should forget. I don't want to forget, and I don't think you should forget. Because this dream of God's that we share the edges of our fields with those from the other side of the tracks and those who cross the border into our land, this dream exposes the heart of God, the very heart of God. In the heart of God's law, in the heart of Torah, we encounter God as a disappointed dreamer. We encounter a God who wanted more for us and hoped for more from us, but who determined anyway to love us, who nevertheless holds up God's side of the covenant with us. To which this flawed, awed, stunned, and puny human can only say, my eyes have seen the very heart of God. Thanks be to you, O God. All thanks and praise to your name.